Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Yeah, God, I trust that at all times that we will be satisfied. Satisfied whenever we envision the face of Jesus, or if we just think about you, that we know that everything we hold dear is in you. So God, thank you, and thank you that we are alive because of Jesus and in Jesus. And oh, we love Jesus today. Be honored, God, as we open your word, and God, as we reflect on your Spirit's promptings in our lives today, as what he wants to do to refine, change us, tweak us, fill us with, God, that we might be more like you. So we thank you, God, and we thank you for your strength in our lives. And we give you all the glory and the honor. Amen. Amen. Well, that was pretty awesome. I enjoyed that. And nice to be able to sort of soak in God's presence and just reflect on him and be strengthened and encouraged at the same time. Well, I wanted to start by saying over the last couple of weekends, it's been really great. Easter weekend was fantastic, and enjoyed those that went on the Easter scavenger hunt and had a good times there. So Good Friday and Easter Sunday were awesome. And yesterday, of course, I turned a little bit older and hit that milestone of 60, which still seems surreal. But I just wanted to thank everybody for all the thoughts, wishes, just things you've sent me and gave me. And that parade that went flying by yesterday, honking and causing a ruckus in my neighborhood. Just really appreciate it, and overwhelmed again with just you being so kind towards me. So thanks for that. But this morning, I just wanted to begin the next 4 weeks after today. I'm going to be preaching. We're going to be preaching from the Thessalonians books, and we're going to be targeting just themes, general themes that we find in those two books. And I want you to, I'm going to sort of kick it off a little bit today and then reflect back on Easter as well. But the Thessalonians, if you look at 1 Thessalonians, really the prominent theme of 1 Thessalonians is the second coming of Jesus. Something that we look forward to, we hope for, but that's really the theme that hits home the most in that book. And you can't take away from that theme in 2 Thessalonians, because that too becomes the prominent theme of that book. So overall, the second coming of Christ and some of the nuances of all of that is what we deal with when we read these two books. You know, the big issues in Thessalonians were this. One, some members of the church had died. And because they weren't too grounded yet in Christianity or faith, what they, being not fully informed about what would happen to the people that died, you know, as Christians, when Christ returned, there seemed to be a thought in the church that people that died would miss out on the second coming because they weren't alive when the second coming of Christ occurred. And they were plunged into this hopeless grieving for people that passed away simply because they felt that eternally there was no hope. And so that general thread seems to be evident in that church at the time. Also, there was a question about the timing of the day of the Lord. And, you know, we get that in our world today, too, when people come up with these dates on such and such a date, you know, Christ is going to return. And through the history, and I remember back in the 70s and 80s, that people actually at one point would sell all their stuff and go onto a mountain to get ready for the second coming of Christ, which, of course, never occurred. So there today is still confusion about the timing of the day of the Lord. And it seems like there was this impatience or a false sense of security in the Thessalonian church that Paul deals with in these two books. And so we'll get into that a little bit as well. But clearly the Thessalonians needed a reassurance about those who died and about their own destiny when the second coming of Christ occurred, which I believe, you know, of course we all have thoughts and wonder, and we search out and want to know what happens when Christ returns. A premise and a key thought in Thessalonians is this, and it's really in the entire New Testament, and it's in your life and in my life of faith too, is this: Jesus' death and resurrection are the basis for our hope, for our being able to hope in something that is real, something that causes us to know, as we even sung a bit about that today, that we can build our life upon Christ because we know that one day we will see Him face to face. And so Jesus' death and resurrection are the basis for our hope and our Christian hope and faith. And it's paramount. And those two thoughts, just as we celebrated in Easter weekend, is that we would really grab a hold of the thoughts that Jesus died for me, for my sin, to give me hope for eternity, that I can be right with His Father, right with God, so that I can one day know that I will have eternal life with Him. And Jesus' resurrection, his new life, reminds us that we have life that's abundant right now, here today in our faith, and that we can live victorious lives. We have a faith that is strong and powerful and full of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit breathes life into us. And we know that life also tells us that if we should die in this life and be buried, that we will be resurrected, that we will be alive because Jesus went before us, went to the grave, but He rose from the dead, and so we too will be raised up with Him. These are powerful themes that our faith calls for. And if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:14, Paul speaks into this. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." So He confronts their fear here, and we know that if we die on this earth, that we will be resurrected with Christ. And chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we will live together with Him." Again, he combats it. You know, whether you have gone to sleep, meaning death, and buried in the ground, or we're alive when Christ returns, we both shall experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Let me just think about that resurrection of Jesus this morning. You know, my mom, when I was a young kid, I guess I was a preteen, so Pastor Tiffany would have been pastoring me if she was alive then, or younger. Or alive, I'm so old, I can't keep track. But, you know, it was, you know, we were living a lifestyle that was completely wrapped in the world. There was the alcohol, the drugs, the smoking, the language, you know, all the things you do when you're really deprived or you're really involved in the world and some of its darker sides, we were involved in when I was growing up. And all of a sudden, we moved from one location to another and met a Christian family on that street. We just met them by accident, of course. No accident. God's divine work in our lives. And, you know, it was all of a sudden my mother came face to face. She got a phone call one day. She answered the phone, and it was a group of people that were phoning around the Lower Mainland down in the Langley, Aldergrove area. And they were actually asking people if they would tell them about Jesus, and they asked them if they wanted to come to know Him. And my mom gave her heart to Jesus. And in that instant, and this is another reminder to me that the resurrection power of Jesus is so powerfully at work in our lives today, is that she went from a person who cursed, who drank, who took drugs, who you know, would all sorts of stuff going on, lewdness in life. And in an instant, in a moment, in a second, my mother's life was totally, completely changed. And she was able to put all of that stuff aside. She was completely free of any addictions and stuff going on in her life. And her life took a 180 turn. And she has never, ever, ever, ever looked back in her life. She's now 79, turning 80 this year. And Jesus still transforms her life, and she has a passion for God, and she prays, and she intercedes, and you know, God has, she's never looked back in her faith. And that's the transforming resurrection power of Jesus at work in our lives to transform and renew us and give us this abundant life. And we all have that in faith, the Holy Spirit at work in each of our lives. You know, Jesus, when he walked on this earth, the ruler's daughter, when he came to her, was the daughter had passed away. Jesus came in, and she was raised from the dead. The widow's son in the funeral, you know, the funeral procession was on, and Jesus came along, interrupts the funeral, and raises the son to life. And don't forget Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus' friend had been buried and put in the grave, in the tomb, and the stone was over it, and there was 4 days he'd been in there. And Jesus comes to Martha and he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world." You see, Jesus gave us a key to what was ahead through these resurrections on earth, is that one day he too would be the one who would die, go down to conquer death in the grave, and he too would be risen and resurrected, and so that every one of us can have that resurrected experience in Christ. John 14, 19, Jesus said to the disciples, "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." What a promise. That's the promise that Jesus offers to us all, that if we will recognize the work he has done, that Jesus was tortured and crucified and buried, and then a tomb and a stone were put in front of there, and that stone was rolled away, and that Jesus came back to life, that we too have that life, and we live because he lives. I love the Easter story on the day when the resurrection occurred and the ladies came down to the tomb, and it says they didn't find the stone was rolled away, and when they entered and looked inside, they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke this to you while he was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, rise again." And they remembered his words and told the others what had taken place. Oh, the grave. You know, I think of that resurrection. There's a lot of proofs about the resurrection being real and true, and that Jesus rose from the dead. There were a lot of witnesses afterwards who saw him, all of these things. But there's a few little fun facts that I have that I cling to as well that I've not always considered. I thought I'd share them with you today. One is, a lot of people say that Jesus' body was stolen. Well, if the grave is found empty, and the women went in there and found it empty, and it says that the grave clothes that Jesus had been wrapped in were neatly folded and placed down on the rock there. Now, if Jesus' body was stolen, I don't know about you, but people don't often go into places and rob places and then clean up after themselves. So why would this cloth be folded neatly and put down on there if somebody had come in and robbed and stolen the body of Jesus? It's just a good thought, because I'm OCD. I'm a person who has to have everything in order. And maybe I would do that, but I highly doubt it, because I've been caught in situations in my past. We won't get into it today. And the first thing I thought about was getting out, not cleaning up. So that's just a fun thought for me. The other one is that in the Gospel of Matthew, it says that the first witnesses, you know, it confirms Luke 24 here that I've read. It basically confirms that the first witnesses to find Jesus' body gone and the tomb rolled away, the stone rolled away, was women. Now, you have to understand culture back in that day to understand the significance of this. And Matthew, building this story, you know, women's testimony at that time were not considered credible. They were not credible. In fact, they weren't even admissible in any court setting. Women could not testify to any truth. And if Matthew was making it all up, why would he use women as his first witnesses in his story to prove that Jesus was risen? It doesn't make any sense for his story's credibility. So if he was going to make a sense, he would have said that men showed up because they could give credible witness. But yet in the story, we find that he says women showed up first and were the first witnesses of the resurrection. The other thing I find interesting about the resurrection is that the disciples say in the word that they encountered Jesus afterwards. That they actually physically, in fact, Thomas got to touch his hands, his side where the wounds were, and to actually physically see Jesus alive and have a relationship with him. They ate with him, they talked with him, they spent time with him before he was ascended to heaven. And it's interesting that if those events hadn't occurred, why was it that afterwards they were so passionate about sharing the gospel? And why is it that they were literally giving their lives in martyrdom for somebody who had never risen? And I find that such a powerful truth that if we look at their lives and their passion and the fact that they laid their lives down afterwards and were crucified or tortured or killed, and John, even in exile, you know, like all of it is because they had seen Jesus alive. And that brings strength and comfort to me, and I trust and hope that that brings strength and comfort to you. Because if the resurrected Christ is alive, then that life is living in you and in me, and it brings passion, and it brings us to be able to go through everything we go through in life to experience God, because God is real, he's alive, he's resurrected, and he's at work in your life and in my life by his Spirit. Love that question, why do you seek the living among the dead? Well, translation is simple, he's alive. So what about our story? Has Christ changed our lives, you know, since we accepted Christ's forgiveness of our sin and he came into our lives and we were sealed by the Holy Spirit? Has the resurrected Christ made a difference in you and in me? And maybe, better yet, maybe we should word it this way. How has the resurrected Christ made a difference in you and in me? Because, folks, if the resurrected Christ is at work in our lives, then we are being changed day after day after day, and his power is at work in our lives. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he lives, I live." Ephesians 2, 4-6, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anybody's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come." Just like my mom, you know, the old things passed away and the new had come. And in your life and in my life, we look back and we see a complete working of God, that things are changing in us constantly as we become new creatures in him. Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." If you're a person of faith today, you are a person who's alive in Christ. There's a newness of faith, a newness of life in you and in me. John 10:10, the second part of that, 10b, says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came so that you would have life and have it abundantly." That doesn't mean we're not going to have trials and tribulations. It doesn't mean we're going to have it easy all the time. But there is something within us that is helping us go through everything in life and building and changing and renewing us and strengthening us, because it's the life of Christ through his Spirit that's at work in us constantly, developing us and giving us a life that is abundant. And the way to get abundant life is to have faith and trust and hope and belief in a God who is resurrected from the dead. That's how we become people of peace and joy and contentment and hope, because we know who we believed in and we're convinced that he's able to change us and make us ready for that day when Christ comes back and returns. Jesus wants you and I, not to have necessarily the most easy life all the time, but he wants us to have a rich, full, joyful life, overflowing with purpose and meaning, because our purpose and meaning are now found in him and in his kingdom, and having fellowship with God and having his favor in our lives. So folks, this morning, let's just remember we can live. We can live a good life. We can have an abundant life. And let's live our lives as if the grave is empty and it's no longer Jesus is dead. He's alive. So let's live like people who know that he is alive. And ask Chad to come and the guys, and they're going to lead us in a little bit more time of reflection. And I'd like you this morning to reflect on the joy of the resurrection, on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead to give us life, an abundant life. And if you're, if you're downcast today, if you're depressed, if you're fearful today, if you're maybe just even coasting in your faith and in your life right now, let's turn our eyes and our hearts towards Jesus, the resurrected Lord, and realize the life that he has given us. And let's experience that life afresh and anew this morning. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to let that living water that he offers us from deep within ourselves to just bubble up to the surface and to fill us with joy and great hope again today because of him. There's a story I've told years ago, and I love this story. Because every Easter, even though I don't share it every Easter, I always remember this story. There was a mentally challenged young 8-year-old boy. And he was just, his health was just getting worse. The long forecast of long years of life were just not there for him. And at 8 years old, he was in a Sunday school class of eight, well, with him included, there were 8 kids. And there was a amazing, elderly lady that was teaching them. And as it turns out, they tried as best as she could to include Stephen in all of the stuff that was going on and not make him isolated, but a part of it. And the other 7 kids had sort of grown so used to Stephen being there and being a part of his life, and they were helpful when they could, but they included him. It was a good Sunday school group experience for them all. And one spring, when Easter was approaching, the teacher gave them all one of those plastic eggs, that you pull apart, and they're plastic, and you put something in them usually. And so she gave them each an empty one, and she told them, for the next week, I want you to think about something about spring, about new life, and put a sample of that in the egg, close it, and bring it back next Sunday morning, and we'll open them up together. And so the kids all went out excited, and the week passed, and they were coming back into the Sunday school the week later, and they all were just sort of running in with excitement because they had their egg and there was something inside it, and the teacher would take it and thank them and put it up on the ledge so that all 8 eggs were in front of her, and she got all the kids, there, and they were all excited what each other had put in there, especially what they had. They wanted everybody to see it. So she opens up the first one, and there's a little flower in there, and she goes, Emily, that was awesome, that does remind us of spring, there's new life, there's flowers that grow, and it does, it gives us an idea of new life. And she put it down, and she takes the next one and opens it up, and oh, Bobby, here's yours, and here's a rock, and there's moss on the rock, and the moss grows, and so it reminds us new life in the forest and stuff. And she puts it down. And the third one, there's a butterfly sample in there, reminding us of a butterfly coming out of the cocoon. And then she gets to the fourth one, and she opens it up, and she notices there's nothing inside. And so she thinks to herself, this has got to be Stephen's. So she starts to close it and she puts it down and she picks up the next one to open it. And Stephen interrupts her. And he's like, teacher. He goes, don't pass mine by. And she takes it and she puts it down to hold his again. And she says, well, Stephen, there's nothing inside. And he says, that's right, because Easter reminds us that the tomb is empty and that you've given us new life. A couple months later, Stephen passed away. And they were gathered at his graveside for the funeral. And the casket was there, the family, the people around, quite a good group. The seven Sunday school teacher or kids were there with their families. And each one of them stepped out and put a plastic egg that was empty on his casket. And then the teacher put his. Folks, we don't live as those who have no hope. We live with a Savior who died, conquered death, and rose from the grave to give you and I new life. And it's not something we need to wait to the future to experience, although the hope and promise is there. It's something that we can experience today. Fresh and anew, every day that we get up, we have a new life to live because the resurrected Christ is living in us. So God, I thank you today. What a story. The grave is empty. The stone was rolled away and Jesus, you rose from the dead. And that gives us hope and it gives us life. And I pray, God, that today the Holy Spirit would again in us just remind us deep within us of these incredible truths and that we live like people that know that he lives and that we too are living in him. Thank you for new life. Thank you for joy. Thank you for peace. Thank you for the trust and the faith that we put in you. And that you are at work in our lives and you're transforming us and changing us, making us new creatures. And that one day we can look forward to that day when face to face Jesus will see you and our faith will then be sight. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Thank you, Jesus. Bless each person, God. Stir something in them in these next few moments in their bedroom, God, in their living room, kitchen, wherever they are, God, in their car. Holy Spirit, do a good work in each of our lives.
Amen. Thank you, God. If you have been tracking with us for the last several weeks, then maybe you've caught on too. But if not, we've had several people share the word in different ways, in some their story and some from God's story. And there's this overarching theme of hope. Like Jesus is alive and Jesus is our living hope. And if you don't feel full of hope or encouraged yet, that's okay. But keep pressing in and keep seeking and reach out and get someone to pray with you and get someone to speak truth and life over you. Like, if God keeps bringing us this message of hope, then it's because we need it. And we probably need it now as a local church, but then we also need to just keep bringing it to those around us. So, Pastor Rich's word of like, the resurrection, the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive. And this should fill us with hope, not make our lives easier, but in the midst of everything, we still look forward. So I just wanted to point that out to you and encourage you, like, keep going. So I'm going to close the service in prayer and kind of do something a little different this morning, though. I actually want you guys to just, wherever you are at home, pray with me. But this morning, I want to just pray for Pastor Rich and his family. Like he said, it was his birthday, and we don't actually get an opportunity to pray for him much as a church family, as probably we could or should, and I wanted to do that today. So God, we thank you that you are alive. We thank you, Jesus, that the tomb was empty, that you are our living hope, and in the midst of all of our circumstances, that you bring peace and joy, and that you give us something to look forward to, that you walk with us, that you journey with us. And if it's not COVID, then it'll be another season. And so this is a truth for all ages. And would we cling to that? Would we cling to you, Jesus, like our lives depend on it, because they do. And today we lift up Pastor Rich, and we thank you for the 60 years that he's had. God, we pray that you would bless him, and that in this season you would give him wisdom. Wisdom comes down from you. Would you fill him with your spirit as he's even in just taking this time to intentionally increase his intimacy and his relationship with you? Would you honor that? Would you see that? Would you just well up inside of him a vision for this local church, for the people he leads, to be a light in our community? Would you bless his family, even in this season where grandchildren are still coming and joining their family? God, would his family and his children and their children know you and love you? Would you bless his marriage and his wife? And God, would you provide for his needs? Would you just protect him as he looks to honor you in all ways? Thank you for the shepherd you've brought to this local body. God, help us to just bless him and honor him and love him the way that you do. And Jesus, just bless your church this week. Help us to reach out to one another. Help us to be a light and a hope to one another and to encourage one another. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that the grave was empty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.